Get ready for your daily dose of WordPress and web development tips, tricks, and insights to help you find success with WordPress. You're listening to WP the Podcast with your hosts, David Blackman and Tim Streifler.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of WP the Podcast, brought to you by WP Gears. I'm David Blackman.
And I'm Tim Streifler.
Tim, today we're going to talk about something that is super important when you're getting into the web development game, and it's how to get your first web design client.
Yeah, and this is a question that everyone has, and if you're like me, you kind of stumbled into web design, and maybe you got that first client kind of, you know, by mistake, but then you're actually, you know, deciding to, you know, pursue web design. You're like, okay, well, how do I get, you know, my first real client that I'm, you know, pursuing myself. And so hopefully this episode will help. We have some tips, some strategies to help you, you know, get that first web design client.
Yeah. And we're going to mainly focus this on as if you are, you know, focusing locally and not really looking for national or international business. Obviously, there's ways to go about doing that as well. That takes a little bit more time and planning. But so we're going to focus on as if you're, you know, doing it in your local area, which is where I started. I assume that's where Tim started as well. You know, it's yeah. We didn't start out building websites for people around the world until a few years into our web design career, as people started to find us and stuff. So it was local. And first thing that we're going to mention is, you know, friends and family. You know, that's a great place to start when you're starting a new venture. You need to kind of be careful, you know. You don't want to abuse your friends and family, always pitching, trying to get business from them and stuff. But there's nothing wrong with letting your friends and family know what you're doing. And when you're starting out and stuff, you know, letting them know that you're doing building websites now. And if they have any needs or know anyone that has any needs, that's a really easy place to start because they're familiar with you. You're familiar with them. It's easy to tell them about what you're doing. And there's really no fear or anything. It just kind of takes it away from it.
Yeah, definitely. And I want to add a couple things to that point, David, if that's all right. Something
absolutely.
That I've mentioned before on WP the Podcast is people want to hire someone that they know and trust or someone that they know and trust, knows and trusts. It's a mouthful, but the point is people want to hire someone that they have some sort of connection to. And so family and friends can be that first, you know, great client because they feel connected to you and they know you and they trust you. And that's especially true when you don't have any prior work. You don't have much of a portfolio to, you know, for people to kind of see. And so they're kind of going off of, you know, trusting who you are as a person. And so what I did when I decided, you know, I quit my job and I was going to do web design full time was I wanted to make sure that everyone I knew, friends and family, knew what I was doing. As David said, make sure people know that you're doing websites now. And so, you know, I did, you know, I spent a couple solid weeks at redoing my website and, you know, showing off the work that I had done in the past when I was, you know, kind of dabbling with web design on the side. And so then I blasted out to social media, you know, telling everyone, hey, this is what I'm doing now. If you know anyone that needs a website, let me know. And so, you know, I got a couple clients that way. Actually, a good friend of mine was running his own design agency. He's like, hey, I saw that you went full time doing web design. And so then he ended up outsourcing work to me. And so, you know, for several months, I had solid work that came from letting everyone that I already knew, letting them know what I was doing. And so, and then another thing too, is people like will realize what you're doing. And so they might not need a website or anyone that they know might not need a website at that point, but you're going to stay top of mind so that when they need one or they hear of someone that needs one because they're starting a business or whatnot, they're going to think of you. And so I think that's a really important thing to do is utilize social media.
I think you covered family and friends better than I did, Tim. You gave some really, really good topics.
The next thing on the list is nonprofits. And nonprofits can be great clients, even if you're not starting out, but especially if you're starting out, because a lot of times they don't have a big budget. And so, you know, they don't have the resources to go and hire a big agency and spend $20,000 on a website. And so going with someone that has good skills, but maybe doesn't have, you know, a huge portfolio and can't charge as much, it could be kind of a win-win situation. And so you could, you know, give them a reduced rate in exchange for letting them, you know, letting you build them a website as a portfolio builder. And so it can definitely be a great way to go. And a strategy that David's mentioned, and David, feel free to jump in and add on to this, is a lot of times nonprofits have connections with successful business people, whether it's their board of directors, whether it's a big donor. And so if you do a really good job for a nonprofit, well, chances are they're going to have some connections to some successful business owners in the area that can then, you know, open up some doors for you.
Yeah, a lot of nonprofits, you know, the business community serves on these nonprofit boards. So what the reason I like it so much is because most of the people that serve on nonprofit boards, whether it's farmers markets or animal rescue or whatever the nonprofit is, a lot of these people that volunteer their time and stuff are CEOs and owners of companies in your local area and stuff. So if you go in, give them a great rate. You know, don't be afraid to, you know, to kind of, you know, discount your services and stuff to help out nonprofits. I know Corey and I, for our first couple of years that we got into web design as a partnership and stuff, we actively made an agreement that we would do one free nonprofit website a year. And what that ended up doing for us was it ended up generating a ton of business for us because those nonprofit boards were, you know, active with CEOs and CFOs and people high up in their prospective companies. When they needed websites, they contacted us. So I think nonprofits are a great place to start. You're not only doing good for the community, people in your community that are trying to help the community, but you're also, you know, it also can lead to other business and stuff. One place that you want to kind of think about, depending on what you did before you got into web development, is think about your previous business relationships. Think about those contacts in the business community that you already have. Reach out to them. Let them know what you're doing. Don't be afraid to give them a special rate. And definitely don't be afraid to be honest with them. Say, hey, look, I'm going and moving in a new direction. I'm new. I'm probably going to cost a whole lot less than, you know, the web design company down the block. It doesn't mean that you have to do it for nothing. Doesn't mean that you have to do it for free. But don't be afraid to give them a special, you know, introductory rate to help you get your business started and stuff. And people appreciate the transparency. They appreciate the honesty. And truthfully, people want to help other people. You know, they want to, you know, see people succeed. And if they know you personally from a past business relationship, they probably want you to succeed and stuff. So don't be afraid to reach out to them, see if they have any needs. And also don't forget to ask them for a list of potential people that they think might need your services. So, and then just start contacting them and calling them and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it all goes back to the, you know, the trust factor, you know, talking about with family and friends. I think the same thing goes with previous business contacts. People want to hire someone that they know and trust. And so, and as David mentioned, people like to help out people that they know and they like. And so if they can't hire you, more than likely, they'll be happy to put you in touch with other business relationships that they have, referrals that can really help you get a good foot into the door, even though you're brand new. Another thing you could do as well, this wasn't on our list, but something I thought of here is if you're trying to establish yourself locally, don't be afraid to reach out. You know, it could be a cold email, a phone call, walking in, you know, going door to door to other local businesses and be like, hey, just so you know, I'm a new web designer in the area. I'm right down the street. You know, I love your business. If you need anything, let me know. Because it all comes down to a connection. And so as we talked about, you know, with people want to hire someone they know and trust, if you're local, there's automatically that connection. They already automatically, you know, feel like they know you a little bit because you have something in common. You're in that local area with them. And so that could be a great place to start as well.
Yeah. And God, I had something, Tim, and it just left my brain. I guess that's where we're going to have to end and stuff.
Was it regarding like a local Chamber of Commerce?
Yeah, actually, it just came back to me. Yeah. Yeah, Chamber of Commerce is definitely good. That's not where I was going, but that's another one.
Yeah.
You know, getting involved in your community, joining your local chamber, networking with other businesses and stuff is a great place to start. But taking a look at your own community, you know, make a target list of 20 businesses that you want to work with, you know, and go look at their website. If their website sucks balls, pitch them. Go talk to them. You know, they may need you. You may find out that they already need it and you just happen to be in the right place at the right time and stuff. So take a look at their website. Now, if their website sucks, don't go in telling them that their website sucks. You know, go in and just tell them what you can do to help, how you think you can help benefit their business and what you're going to be able to do for them with a new website redesign and stuff.
And in my experience, a lot of times they'll tell you, oh yeah, our website sucks. It's super old. You know, we need a new one, you know? And so you don't have to go out and say it because they'll usually bring it up. You can, you know, tell them what you do and how you can help them. And they'll be like, oh yeah, that's a good point. Our website's really old. And then, you know, it kind of breaks the ice because now they're telling you that they have a need for what you're offering. And so, you know, there's already that, you know, connection you have going there.
Awesome. Well, tomorrow we've got another great topic, the five-step recipe for fast-loading WordPress websites. Until tomorrow, we'll see you then.
Take care. Bye-bye.
We've come to the end of today's episode of WP the Podcast. Join us tomorrow for more daily tips and strategies designed to help you run your WordPress business towards success. Remember to subscribe to WP the Podcast so you can stay up to date with each episode. And don't forget to rate and review us. We'll see you again tomorrow, right here on WP the Podcast.